This is Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this evening, my guests, Julie O'Leary, Aaron Krieger, and Melanie Tuminen, join me to talk about Souls to the Polls, a Twin Ports Get Out the Vote festival and celebration. Also on the show, Dida Quiñones, Afro-Colombian human rights defender, a musician, and peace builder, is coming to the Twin Ports to share her story and songs with the Twin Ports community. This event is sponsored by the Duluth branch of the NAACP, Clayton Jackson McGee, and Witness for Peace. All of this coming up next on People of Color after this news. Welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks. Good evening. And I'm honored to have on the show tonight Dida Quiñones from Colombia. She is Afro-Colombian activist, a singer, a human rights defender, musician, and peace builder. This conversation is being interpreted tonight by David Pegg from the Twin Cities. Also, a bit later on the show, we'll have a conversation with Lynn Pegg. She is a community leader from Duluth. She is one of the organizers for an event coming up in our community. How are you doing this evening?
Un poco de calor, pero muy feliz de estar aquí, reencontrarse con los amigos desde acción permanente y con mucha energía para aportar a la paz que necesitamos todos.
You know, it's a little warm here, but I'm happy, you know, to be back with my friends here with Witness for Peace, and I'm feeling really filled with energy to help us move towards peace.
Welcome back to America. I remember meeting you some time ago, and I can't wait to see you again.
Sí, yo también estoy muy contenta por participar en esta entrevista y dar a conocer más acerca de mi trabajo como activista en Colombia con los derechos de la tierra, la música, historias de muchas personas, comunidades que sigo trabajando hasta ahora.
Well, you know, and me too. I'm real happy to be here for this interview and to let you all know more about my work as an activist working around land rights, music, people's history, and community.
So if you would take a moment, Dira, to tell our listeners about what's actually going on in your country right now.
Un placer hablar de esto. Bueno, lo primero es que la lucha de las comunidades continúa con una gran incertidumbre con la llegada de este nuevo mandatario. Estamos muy tensos, muy preocupados, pero también muy alertas para ajustarnos mucho más en todos los territorios y seguir en el proceso que siempre hemos estado buscando una mejor oportunidad. Mi trabajo está muy en...
Yes, of course. Well, first, you know, we're really fighting as a community in this time of uncertainty with the new government that's coming in. It's very tense. We're very worried, but we're staying vigilant about everything that may be happening in our territories, and we're really working on bringing forward our processes, and we also see new opportunities.
Sí, sobre todo el trabajo que estamos haciendo, a pesar de todas estas políticas públicas que, pues, seguramente van a traer más problemas que los que ya tenemos, estamos también conscientes que entre más nos organicemos y más nos integremos, vamos a lograr a futuro, seguramente no hoy, pero vamos a trabajar para que en Colombia algún día podamos lograr la paz que necesitamos.
And especially, you know, we're really trying to work, despite the public policies being implemented that will cause more problems. But we know that if we continue to organize and continue to come together, in the future, we'll be able to work towards achieving peace.
Y eso no es posible sin la solidaridad entre pueblos, entre naciones, de trabajar todos juntos por lograr la paz, no solamente en Colombia, sino también en el mundo. Porque aunque no hayan guerras como las que hemos tenido nosotros en todos estos 60 años y atrás para el pueblo afro, indígena y campesino por más de 500 años, también hay otro tipo de guerras como el no contar con un sistema de acceso a la salud o mayores oportunidades en el trabajo. Eso también tiene que ver con la guerra, así no sea armada.
And we know that this won't be possible unless there's solidarity amongst the different peoples, the different nations in the world. We won't be able to achieve peace, neither in Colombia or anywhere in the world. You know, and we've had a lot of war in Colombia, you know, the last 60 years, and it's affected the African descendant, indigenous, and peasant populations for over the last 500 years. But that isn't the only type of war. There's also the war of no health care or lack of work opportunities. War isn't only comes in a armed expression. There's different manifestations.
Por eso sigo componiendo más canciones, y una de esas canciones que yo había compuesto en homenaje a la vida, no solo de los seres humanos, sino a la vida en la tierra. He compuesto otro pedazo de esta canción que dice: en Colombia nos desplazan y nos matan sin razón. Esta es parte de la historia de la canción Homenaje a la Vida.
And so, you know, I'm, and in that sense, I continue to be writing more and more music, such as one song that I have, which is called A Homage to Life and the Earth. And it goes something about how in Colombia we may have been displaced and murdered, but there is a reason behind it all.
Porque muchos han perdido toda su dignidad.
Because many have been forced to lose even their dignity.
Y yo no vengo a llorar.
And I'm not here to cry.
Yo vengo a denunciar.
Rather, I come here to speak out against injustice.
Que en Colombia la lucha continúa y la vamos a lograr.
And in Colombia the struggle continues and we will be victorious.
Que viva la vida.
Here's to life.
That is such a beautiful expression of peace and harmony despite the odds.
Sí, justamente esto no es fácil escuchar todos los días casos de asesinato a líderes y lideresas, a jóvenes. Nosotros en nuestra organización ANDAE tuvimos una experiencia fatal el año pasado con 24 líderes en el norte del Cauca que fueron asesinados día tras día, 24 jóvenes de nuestro proceso, pero seguimos con nuestros con estas actividades, a pesar de todos los problemas que vivimos cada día.
And it really hasn't been easy to hear about all these different situations, all these cases where leaders, men and women, youth, you know, and who have been murdered. And in our organization, we've also had deaths. Just last year, 24 people were killed in the northern part of Cauca, one after another, day after day. But nevertheless, we continue in our activities.
Me ha sorprendido mucho que hay un relevo generacional muy importante en mi pueblo. Hoy tenemos una junta integrada por 5 jóvenes, todas mujeres, que son parte de mi historia y parte del proceso de la recuperación de tierra en mi pueblo. Y estoy muy contenta porque no hace sino unos días me visitaron y estamos nuevamente pensando en continuar este proceso de la adquisición de la tierra, de la reparación colectiva y también de otros pueblos que me están llamando para apoyar en esta lucha.
And so, you know, and I've also been really surprised by, you could say, a generational changing of guard that's going on with my people. And we now have a new board of 5 women who all are all participating on recovering land. And so it really makes me pleased that they've come in and they're continuing this process to recover land for collective reparations.
Pero claro, eso no va a ser posible si no logro un acompañamiento. Por eso estamos en Bogotá junto con otras organizaciones buscando apoyo y solidaridad a organizaciones de derechos humanos para que me acompañen en esta tarea.
And you know, none of this would be possible if we're not accompanied by others. We have that need, and that's why we're in Bogotá along with other organizations to see if we're able to get international human rights organizations who can accompany us in this, walk with us in this process.
Would you, for all intents and purposes, I just want to say right here, you're from Bogota, Colombia. I had a friend while in high school. One of my very dear friends was from Bogota, Colombia. And so that was back in the 70s, in the late 70s. And so I just wanted to mention that. I have a quick question regarding the children of your country. I'm always interested in how children are faring, how they're doing. So how are the children doing in your country?
Sí, este es uno de los temas que siempre nos ha preocupado. Con este proceso de implementación del proceso de paz, siempre se ha estado buscando que aparezcan todos los niños desaparecidos, pero a la fecha todavía no sabemos mucho de eso. Hay algunos.
So yeah, that's something that's always very concerning to us, and especially in this time where we're trying to implement the peace process, we're still also looking for children that have been forcibly disappeared, and we still don't know their whereabouts.
Pues apenas está trabajando en esto, con esta comisión de paz que apenas se llega, y seguramente en ese proceso se va a lograr hacer entrega de los niños que han estado en manos de la FARC y de otros grupos armados como los helenos y otros.
And you know, so we're working on this with the Peace Commission, and we're still hoping that the children who have been taken away by such armed groups as the FARC or maybe other armed groups like the ELN, that someday that they'll be returned to us as well.
Mm-hmm. Así que este es un tema de mucha importancia. Nosotros por eso también hacemos un trabajo con los niños en Bogotá, porque muchas veces afuera, digamos en el contexto internacional y en nuestro propio país, no se tiene en cuenta que en las grandes ciudades como Bogotá o Cali o Medellín, en estas ciudades es donde se concentran. O sea, allí se recibe a mucha gente que llega de todos los territorios del país en condición de desplazamiento forzado. Entonces, esto es bueno también visibilizarlo porque está concentrado mucho las familias, tanto indígenas como afro, campesinas, de todo tipo, que llegan aquí. Y entonces ahí hay la necesidad también desde la comunidad de generar procesos como lo estamos haciendo ahora con la Escuela de Saberes Ancestrales.
And so that's also a real important issue in terms of the work that we're doing in Bogotá with children, as is the case throughout the world and in our country. People don't know about the situations facing children in Bogotá, Cali, Medellín, in other cities, and you see these cities are where a lot of people from different territories are forced to flee as internally displaced people. And so we're looking at what we can do for these different communities, be they African descendant, indigenous, peasant, how can we help these families? And in that regard, we're also trying to bring about a school of ancestral knowledge.
Entonces hay mucha concentración de las familias con sus hijos que llegan a estas ciudades. Por solo mencionar algunos casos como el de Ciudad Bolívar, San Cristóbal, Usme, en el centro de la ciudad, en Bosa, también hay mucha concentración de familias en condición de desplazamiento. A la fecha tenemos caracterizado a nivel oficial más de 8 millones de personas en condición de desplazamiento.
And so there's a lot of concentrations of families and children that come to the cities, and we see them in different parts of our city, in Bogotá, be it Ciudad Bolívar, San Cristóbal, or Usme. They end up downtown or in the neighborhood of Bosa. And there's a lot of families who have been internally displaced. Officially, the records have even reached 8 million people.
8 million people?
8 millones.
Sí, 8 millones.
That's right, 8 million.
Wow.
A la fecha es importante visibilizar que es muy poca la reparación para las víctimas. No hay políticas públicas en Colombia adecuadas. Existe la ley 1448, pero esta ley no se ha adecuado a las necesidades que tiene esta población. Y el otro tema de mucho interés en el cual venimos trabajando es el tema étnico.
And up to the date, it's a very important thing to be visibilizing, but also it's important to say that there really hasn't been money dispersed to the victims in the form of adequate public policy. There is a law that's been passed, it's called Law 1448, but it really doesn't cover the needs and also addressing other issues, especially when you take into account ethnic components.
So I'm going to ask you this. At this particular point, in your opinion, what role does the United States play in your country?
Sí, justamente esta es una de las cosas que nos preocupan. Las políticas de Estados Unidos siguen generando efectos en cuanto a que todo el tema del narcotráfico y del control también territorial en el país tiene que ver mucho con estas políticas públicas que nuestro país justamente ha apoyado en el país. Entonces es bueno de decirlo aquí porque pues sigue haciendo estrago estas políticas públicas mientras se invierte desde acá con los recursos de los estadounidense para controlar, el tema del cultivo de la hoja de coca, que en Colombia se ha disparado en este año mucho más que antes, y en el marco de los acuerdos, pues es muy preocupante. Es decir, que esa política no es efectiva, es decir, política que está...
We're also, worried about the public policies coming out of the United States, the effects that it could have, especially as it has to do with drug trafficking and territorial control, as it affects our territories, and we can say that within this framework, there has been investment on resources from the United States to try to manage the cultivation of the coca leaf, which hasn't increased, but it hasn't been effective.
Y a veces nos preguntamos esta cooperación para qué nos sirve, porque es una cooperación que se queda, por ejemplo, en las fuerzas armadas, que se quedan los grandes empresarios, pero que nunca llega a la comunidad. Entonces, ¿así cuándo vamos a lograr paz?
And so, all this international aid, sometimes you say, what's it for? I mean, it ends up with the armed forces, with big businesses, but it doesn't really reach the communities.
Hemos estado averiguando sobre esto y lo que dicen las agencias de cooperación, no solo de Estados Unidos, sino en otros países, es por qué van a apoyar a organizaciones comunitarias que no son efectivas. Y siempre decimos, y es que no es efectividad hacer un trabajo cuando llegan unas víctimas a Bogotá y somos nosotros los que hacemos el trabajo de articularlos, de organizarlos, de sembrar, por lo menos si ya no tenemos tierra, sembrar por lo menos en un espacio pequeño, así sea en su casa. Trabajamos haciendo el enlace con la unidad de víctimas y con la alta consejería para las víctimas, hacemos enlace con la Secretaría de la Mujer. Eso es un trabajo, pero luego no es reconocido.
And so, you know, what these international aid agencies say, and not just from the United States, also from organizations, they say, oh, these community organizations, they're not very effective. But what's effective? I mean, we're the ones working with the victims. When they come to Bogota, we help them get organized, create coalitions. We even help people continue to plant gardens, if it's only even in their own house. And we also offer work as liaisons so that they may coordinate with the Peace Commission or the Secretary for Women's Affairs. We do all this work, yet when do they recognize us?
Mm-hmm. La conclusión que hemos llegado con estos temas es que nosotros hacemos el trabajo, pero ellos reciben el dinero.
So in the end, what we say is, we do the work, and they take the recognition.
Wow. La política de Estados Unidos no es efectiva y no garantiza nada en nuestro país para resolver nuestros problemas.
And so, you know, the role of the United States is not effective in terms of resolving the issues that we face in our country.
Okay, so I want to ask Daida, do you ever fear for your life?
Sí, claro. He sentido siempre mucho miedo, pero siento más miedo cuando no puedo hacer nada.
Oh, sure, of course. I've often feared for my life, but I especially have fear when I don't do anything.
Okay, so you have fear when you don't do anything. What does that mean?
O sea, siente miedo si no hace nada. ¿Qué quiere decir?
Pues quiere decir que cuando uno no está activo desarrollando un proceso como el que he traído por más de 35 años, pues siento miedo al no hacer nada, a quedarme quieta pensando que si hago algo me pueden matar.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that if I don't do anything, and I've been doing things for 35 years now, I really get afraid though when I think, oh my gosh, I'm afraid and I'm not doing anything.
Yo estoy convencida de lo que han dicho nuestros mayores, que hay que seguir haciendo un trabajo casa adentro, con nuestras familias, con nuestra comunidad, también con las entidades, con las instituciones, hay que hacer cabildeo, lo venimos haciendo, lo vamos a seguir haciendo. Como estamos desarrollando ahora la Escuela de Saberes, tenemos que decirles a ellos cómo es nuestra forma de vida, cómo es que desarrollamos estos procesos en nuestra comunidad para que algún día esta política pública cambie.
You know, just like our elders always say, you got to do the work indoors. You got to do it with our families, with our communities, as well as institutions. We got to lobby them. We have to do all of this so we can develop our ancestral schools to promote life, our processes, and so someday we might be able to change public policy.
What keeps you hopeful, Daira, that there will be peace one day in your country?
Justamente cuando veo a cada niño, a cada niña, a los adolescentes, con esperanza, como lo estamos haciendo ahora en el centro de Bogotá, en el programa de educación inclusiva. Cuando veo llegar los niños con esa esperanza, con esa alegría, cuando me dan un abrazo, ahí yo siento que es necesario seguir construyendo, seguir cantando, seguir sembrando y seguir estableciendo relaciones, porque finalmente este mundo no va a cambiar si nosotros no nos relacionamos entre todos, porque los problemas no únicamente están en Colombia.
Well, you know, really what I see is You know, when I look at the boys and the girls, the youth, and I see them with hope, like when we're downtown and I look at the work we're doing around inclusive education, and I look at them and I see them filled with hope and happiness, giving warm embraces, I really feel like I'm going to be able to continue to build and sing and plant and build relations.
Siento esperanza cuando recuerdo palabras de mis padres. Mi papá decía, la tierra no se queda nunca con nada. Y entonces cada vez más yo siento la necesidad de volver a ella. Y por eso también estoy contenta en este momento, que a pesar de que se ha incrementado mucho más la violencia en mi pueblo, en Tumaco, también asimismo se ha fortalecido, se ha estrechado el proceso comunitario. Y hoy todo el mundo está diciendo...
So also when I feel I'm happy is when I start listening and hearing the words of my parents, and what they would say is that land is never left alone, and I think about this and I feel that the land that we have and I feel happy that, you know, despite the increase in violence that we see in Tumaco, I feel that we're getting strengthened by coming together.
I have one last question for you. Just one last question, then I'm going to ask Lynn to get on the phone to talk about the event that's coming up. The question is, how can we as everyday citizens in America be of assistance to you?
Es importante ver los procesos que estamos adelantando y ayudarnos a empujar esos procesos. Como lo había dicho antes, hemos entendido que necesitamos espacio para el encuentro.
So what's really important is for you to see the processes that we're involved in doing and help us with these processes that we do.
Implementar escuelas de saberes por todos los territorios, y eso implica que hay que tener recursos para hacerlo.
So, for example, it'd be really important for us to be able to have these schools on ancestral knowledge in all of our different territories. In order to do that, we need to receive resources.
Necesitamos crear estrategias para fortalecer los territorios, porque ellos también han sido afectados en la guerra, el agua ha sido muy afectada, las quebradas, los ríos, los humedales.
And we also need to strengthen strategies for helping out our territories and in all the different aspects, such as water, the streams and rivers, and also the wetlands.
Espacios para acceso a la salud también son importantes para la productividad. Pero sabemos que todo no lo podemos hacer a la vez, así que hemos organizado algunos temas para empezar a fortalecer lo que venimos haciendo.
So, and also other issues that we're still working on are healthcare that will help us become more productive, but we know we can't do everything at the same time.
Right.
So we're trying to organize issue by issue.
Well, thank you very much for this conversation, Daida. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks in Duluth. Is it possible for Lynn to take the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to People of Color, Lynn.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. So I know you're associated with Witness for Peace. There's this wonderful event coming up with Daida Quiñones, Songs and Stories of Resistance. Would you please tell our listeners about that event, where it's going to be held, and if it's open to the public?
Daida is an old friend with Witness for Peace, and we've been partners for almost 10 years. And she has been in Duluth before, and she's returning 5 years later. People who saw her before know that she's not only a fantastic organizer and a human rights defender and a builder of community in Colombia, but she's also a very inspiring storyteller and singer. She writes some of her own music about resistance and recovery and healing. And so she will be in Duluth on Saturday evening,
Regarding the concert with Daida Quiñones from Colombia, that's Daida Quiñones from Colombia, that location has changed. It is now going to be held in the Duluth Coffee Company, and that's located at 105 East Superior Street in downtown Duluth, in the same block as the Fond Duluth Casino. 105 East Superior Street for the Daida Quiñones concert, and that's going to be a great event. It starts at 4 o'clock p.m. in the Duluth Coffee Company, 105 East Superior Street in downtown. Welcome back to People of Color. This is Henry Banks. Thanks for listening and joining us today. I am so honored right now to have on this segment of the show Aaron Krieger, Melanie Tumanen, and Julie O'Leary. They are here to talk about some exciting things that are happening with regard to voting and voter registration in the Twin Ports. I'm going to just at this moment have Julie introduce herself to our listeners and then followed by our other guest.
Thank you, Henry. I am Julie O'Leary, and I'm here representing the League of Women Voters Duluth. I also work here at UWS on campus, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some voter activities that will go on campus here.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. I am Aaron Krieger. I am representing the Duluth NAACP, one of the lead sponsors for this event, and an active member of the Duluth community and excited about the election season.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. My name is Melanie Tumanen, and I'm representing Local Solutions to End Poverty. It's a group empowering people to have a voice.
Absolutely. That's a great group. All of the groups that you all are here to represent are excellent organizations that are doing some really good work in the community. So we are talking about voting and the importance of voting. So why is it important for people to register and vote?
Well, it's the basis of our democracy. It's really the most basic tool that we have to weigh in and have input into how decisions are made. And if we don't vote, we're giving up that power.
Oh, so we're giving up that power if we don't vote. So I want you to hone in, folks, on why it's important for people to vote. And you want to talk about that, Erin?
Sure. I think both from the Duluth NAACP and just, you know, my participation in the community, we're asking these people to set decisions about how our schools are run, how our taxes are collected, you know, policies about our environment, about criminal justice issues. And I think by participating in the vote, you know, we're letting our leaders know exactly who we want they're representing and where we stand on the issue. So it's important to get out there and be a part of the decision-making process for how we are governed and our communities are governed.
Well, thank you very much for that. So I'm going to take this next question, and I'm going to ask Melanie to talk about, okay, so you're representing the Local Solutions to End Poverty. Why should a person who considers themselves or in the category of being impoverished, why should they vote? Why should they vote in this next election, this general election that's coming up in November? Why is it important for everyone to get out there and vote?
Voting, like Julie had mentioned, is a basic right. And whenever we have those opportunities to lift our voice to represent ourselves and basically influence our communities and our state and our nation by doing that, then that's what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, did you want to comment some more on that?
Well, of course we want people to vote in elections at all levels, national and local. But I think for young people and for low-income people, often their lives are most impacted by local decisions that are made in their community about things like affordable housing and utility rates and those kind of things. And I think often that's overlooked, that really at the local level is where there is perhaps the greatest chance where your vote can influence the policies that you're living with every day.
Mm-hmm. So folks are disgruntled, possibly, right? People are concerned about what's going on in America right now. People of color are, in some cases, not going out and voting, are not registering to vote, are afraid of what might happen to them when they go to the polling places. What would you say to them, to that demographic, as to why, again, it's important to vote and why people of color matter, especially in this upcoming election? Somebody want to take that?
This is Melanie. I think I had already maybe said that, but the state elections that are coming up are actually the people that are going to have a voice for us. And those are actually the people that will be able to change the policies and the statutes that we have. And those dictate what happens on all the other levels, including the local level and any kind of jobs or benefits or assistance or lack thereof that we get every day, and the things that support us every day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So say there's someone listening right now who is no longer on paper, okay? So they've served their time. They're no longer on paper. What kind of eligibility does that type of person have with the upcoming election?
This is Erin Henry, and I think, are you specifically talking about people who are dealing with criminal records?
Absolutely.
And a criminal history?
Absolutely.
Well, in Minnesota, you are eligible to vote when you're off paper. You know, a felony conviction does not bar you for life from participating in the election process. You need to fully complete your sentence. That includes your time in incarceration, probation, and parole. And you know, as Henry used the term off paper, that means that you're no longer serving any part of your sentence. At that point, you're fully eligible to vote, and you really should participate in that process. All you need to do is go and register to vote. It does not bar you. If you have a misdemeanor conviction, you can also vote. You just need to be off paper. And it just like anyone else, you show up with your driver's license, maybe an identification card, and register to vote like anyone else. And it's important to be a part of this community because you've interacted with the government very closely. I think you have a lot of opinions on how our system is run, whether that's, you know, local sheriff races or the attorney general, who really impact how our justice system operates. So I hope that anyone, if their family member is concerned about their eligibility to vote, you can visit the Secretary of State's website, and they have a fact sheet about voting with a criminal record, and they'll walk you through all the steps to register to vote and whether you're eligible or not.
Thank you for that. What about Wisconsin? Does anyone have any information as to Wisconsin and what the eligibility requirements might be for this state? I'm sure people can go on the website for the state of Wisconsin to find that information out as well. Be interesting to find out exactly what the requirements are in the state of Wisconsin as well.
And I don't have an answer to that, but I do have a website that people can go to, which is myvote.wi.gov, and there's a lot of information available there.
Say that again, please.
myvote.wi.gov.
Thank you. So I'm here with Erin Krieger, Melanie Tuominen, and Julie O'Leary. We are talking about voting, voting rights, the importance of voting. There is a wonderful event coming up And what I'm going to do at this time is ask you to talk about the event, why that event was necessary in the community. It's called Souls to the Polls, and it's coming up in October. Talk a little bit about that event. I'm going to ask you, Erin, to start that conversation.
Sure. So the Duluth NAACP and Duluth League of Women Voters and a variety of other organizations, and I can list those off in a minute, are planning a really great Get Out the Vote Festival a few days before the deadline for early voter registration, which is on October. The event is on October 13th at Denfeld High School in West Duluth. The address is 4405 West 4th Street. The event's going to be from 1 to 5 p.m. We are going to have music, a spoken word, free food. We're going to have voter registration. There will be sample ballots, candidate information, children's activities. It should be fun. So if you're looking to register to vote or need more information about the candidates, we really hope you'll stop by. If you're already registered to vote but know someone who maybe needs some help registering, we encourage you to bring them along with you, or just come and learn about the candidates and getting involved in the community.
So is it correct that the City of Duluth clerk will be at the event as well to help people?
Yes, the Duluth City Clerk will be there with sample ballots. You know, we're also hoping that there will maybe be some sample machines, but you know, those are hard to get ahead of the election. But at minimum, she will be there to answer any questions and have sample ballots for people to look at so that they know what they're to expect on election day.
So it's important for people to get out and vote. This event is coming up. Is there anything else about this event that, from your perspective, would get people to come and be a part of? I know there's going to be food. That's always a good thing. Is that correct? There's going to be food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why else? What else do you think would get people out to this important event?
This event is a celebration of part of our rights, with music, free T-shirts, family-oriented day to pass on to our children an example of how to have a voice and how to be part of the community.
Mm-hmm. So you're some effective organizers, okay? So I've been attending some of your meetings, sitting in and watching how things are going and encouraging the chairperson, Gail Schoenfelder, encouraging her because she's put in a lot of effort into this too. But this particular committee, this is a large committee of people representing so many different organizations. Why don't you for a moment tell our listeners who some of those organizations are? You've mentioned the NAACP, you've mentioned the League of Women Voters, but there are other organizations that are making this event happen as well.
Yes, there are. These other organizations are also supporting or participating. CHUM, Lincoln Park Children and Family Collaboratives, Lifehouse, Minnesota Coalition of the Homeless, Damiano Center, Local Solutions to End Poverty, Loaves and Fishes, Health and All Policies, the YWCA of Duluth, Unitarian Universalist Congregation Duluth, Community Action Duluth, College of St. Scholastica, Peace Church, Blackbird Revolt, ARC Northland, and American Indian Community Housing Organization, ACO.
Lots of organizations and lots of wonderful organizations that have been around for many years working with marginalized communities, people of color, low-income people. This is an event for everybody, correct? Anybody that wants to be a part of this, this is a nonpartisan event. Erin, why don't you take a moment and talk about why it's a nonpartisan event?
we want everyone, no matter their political affiliation, to exercise their vote, or the right to vote. I think it's important that people really feel involved in the process, that they have ownership over their participation and who they're choosing to represent themselves. We've been very deliberate and specific in making this nonpartisan. We'll have information about all kinds of candidates from both sides of the aisle. And we're working with a variety of folks to make sure that we're making this a welcoming all community event.
Thank you. Julie, so on the other side of the bridge, there's some happenings going on right here on the University of Wisconsin-Superior campus. Would you tell our listeners about what's going on at Superior and why it's important for people over here to get involved in their voting rights process?
So specifically here at UW-Superior, we are participating in a project called the Campus Election Engagement Project, or CEEP. And this is providing on campus here. We will have two student fellows who will be working this fall with the specific goal of helping as many students as possible register, volunteer in campaigns, get educated, and turn out at the polls. And this is a statewide initiative in Wisconsin. There'll be 35 students doing this around the state on different college campuses. And so these students are just getting back on campus and just getting their feet on the ground. But students and others in the university community here and in the city of Superior can watch for information. They're definitely going to be having some specific events that will be promoted to the community.
Thank you. So voting, I don't know how much I'm hitting this home, but voting is so important. Registering to vote first is so important for our young people, for those who are marginalized, for those who are disenfranchised. Voting is so important, especially right now. And coming up in November, folks, it's so important for us as American citizens to get to the polls.
This is Melanie. I wanted to add also that if people are experiencing homelessness, there are also options to also get registered to vote. By indicating the nearest park or the organization that is hosting you or that you frequent. So you can also list other places that you go as an address for those experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's a website. I'm going to ask Julie to mention that website. So if people have more questions or want to know more about Souls to the Polls, what website can they go to, Julie?
They can go to DuluthNAACP.org/vote. And one thing I'd like to say is what I think is great about this event is, you know, we are in communities here, Duluth and Superior, that have lots of festivals and events. You know, we celebrate everything. You know, there's fireworks, there's dragon boat races, there's all sorts of stuff. But we treat voting, I think, like this dull, dry responsibility that we must do as citizens. And so sometimes perhaps it's maybe not surprising that our children and people who are maybe less engaged in politics don't get excited about that. And I think this is trying to make this one of those fun, festive community. Everybody come. There's going to be music. There's going to be food. You know, bring your kids. There'll be activities. So really trying to elevate voting to something that is a really important and great part of our lives and our community here in the way of so many other things are.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at you, Erin, and it looks like you have something else to say before we close.
Yeah, please do visit the website, but also this will be promoted on social media. So keep an eye on the Facebook account for the Duluth NAACP. They'll be promoting the event and putting it up there. There will probably, we have some really great young members of the committee who will be helping some of us navigate Instagram and other social media sources. So if that's how you prefer to get your information or track live updates as we're confirming entertainment or any kind of additions to the program, that's where you can get really live, up-to-date information. And again, I'll agree with Julie that, you know, this really is a celebration. Not a lot of places have the freedoms that we have to participate in our democratic process. And so not only is this an opportunity to register to vote, but this is really a time to celebrate the access we have to these kinds of freedoms. So absolutely. We hope to see you there.
Souls to the polls. This is such an important event for our community, a Get Out the Vote Festival, Saturday, October 13th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Denfeld High School, 4405 West 4th Street in West Duluth. I am so honored to have had this conversation with Aaron Krieger, Melanie Tumanen, and Julie O'Leary. Is there anything else before we close that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I guess I'll just add that although this event specifically is focused in Minnesota, so obviously it will be dealing with Minnesota candidates and Minnesota voter registration, I want to really encourage everyone that no matter where they live, and you know, we, of course, have many students who come into our community in the fall who may be from another state other than Minnesota or Wisconsin, that it is still really important to get registered to vote in your community, wherever that may be.
Absolutely. And come on out and listen to some wonderful bands, spoken word. There's going to be some young people there from a dance group dancing. There's going to be a lot of great entertainment and fun and seriousness. Really dealing with the importance of voting, that's a serious topic, very, very serious topic. And we cannot let this just simply go by without at least having an opportunity to bring people together, because we should all be about working to bring people together, and voting has the potential to do that. Again, thanks to Aaron Krieger, Melanie Tumanen, and Julie O'Leary. And you're listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Have a great evening and a great weekend.